CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, spring people. I was just saying to Pumi and Bulelo at the start of the show this morning, I'm like, you know what? I really like this time of year. I really love waking up in spring. I feel energetic. I feel positive. I feel optimistic. I get excited. I look outside and there's like this beautiful morning light. I see all the trees bursting into leaf. I see all the flowers bursting into bloom. I hear the birds chirping. It's like a Disney cartoon in my head. Seriously, I feel like I'm in a Disney cartoon in spring. You fast forward to winter and I'm like a grouchy, grumpy old man from like a horror movie. That's the difference. I actually feel happier and more alive just because of the seasons. And I don't know if it's just me or if I'm looking for, a default setting that isn't winter, but man, you can't get me down. You can't get me down.
Default setting that isn't winter.
I'm telling you. I'm a happy...
Sound like a bear.
I'm a happy guy in spring. Like, I actually want to see people. I want to do things. I want to get out there. I was saying to Mbulelo, too, Pums, that I've been actually quite disciplined over the last probably 6 to 8 weeks of doing my exercise at home and making sure that I keep up with all the lofty goals that I set myself at the beginning of the year. And the reason I'm doing it now is I've got these little post-it notes. And so every day I write down the five different kind of routines that I'm going to do that day with the five different exercises, the weights or whatever it might be. And then the next day I write the next five down. You know, I do three of each. And then I keep sticking these post-its on a little shelf in my study. And I've now got, I don't know, there must be about 30 or 40 of them, which equates to about 60 different days of doing some sort of training. So I'm proud of myself. I like this. I like this a lot. Makes me happy. Ah, look who's here. There's Lebang. Hello, Lebang Hosana. How are you? Lebang, can you hear us?
Do you think her mic is off?
Let me just see. Lebang, can you hear us? Hello, hello, hello. Hello, can you hear
us? Grand rising, my brothers and sisters.
There we are. There we are. She's back. Back in full force.
I can. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, good. Very, very good. I did something interesting last night, by the way. I met the current...
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah. You know, there's a bit of a delay for some reason, but we'll figure it out. I did something interesting last night. I went and I heard our executive mayor of Tshwane speaking, and I hadn't met him before. And remember I said last week that I'm going to meet the people who are standing in my neighborhood because I want to know who they are. And I actually want to question them myself and figure out what they stand for and whether they're any good. And I'm practicing what I preach. So I'm getting on with it. And I've started off with the current executive mayor of Tshwane. It's a guy called Randall Williams, who seems to me to be one of those people who just quietly gets things done. I thought about you a lot, Bulelo, while I was talking to him. He's just one of those people who's focused on efficiency. He just wants things to work. He's not looking for attention. I don't know if any of you have even heard his name before, because he's not one of these ambitious career politician types. He was in Solim Simang's cabinet when he was the mayor of Tshwane last time. And this guy's just doing his thing. He's just getting things working. He wants to make sure there's a surplus in the coffers so they can fix all the problems. They've got a huge infrastructure backlog, he was telling me about in Tshwane, which they're going to address and are currently addressing already. And he's like, yeah, you know what? If you have problems, here's my number. I was like, you know, that I like. Not just because, and I wasn't being treated specially. Apparently he was doing this to everybody. So anyone who's prepared to do that, because, you know, mostly a politician doesn't want to give you their number because they know you'll call it when there's shit going down. I know you're only going to call them when there's a problem, right? So what do you think? I mean, have you met...
They're not your friend.
No, of course not. Have you met any of your local people?
No.
We have a fantastic, fantastic local councilwoman.
Yeah.
Is that what they called? Councilwoman?
Yeah.
Alderman,
whatever.
Amazing. Everybody, she's in the WhatsApp group. She's very responsive. There's a Facebook page. I've told you this about my neighborhood before.
Yes.
And it works.
I love that.
It works, but it also only works because there are enough people with enough interest, because that's what it is, right?
Right.
You can't be just on your own.
Yeah.
Trying to do all of these things, fixing everything, and everybody else is actually just like waiting to benefit.
Like everybody has so
you gotta kind of, everybody has to be part of it in order for it to work.
But you're going to end up, like in any neighborhood, you're going to end up with those people who are irritating and only are interested in their own stuff, and you only hear from them when there's a problem for them. And they don't really care about anybody else. Those are the people in every neighborhood that you know you're going to deal with at some point, right?
I am fortunate enough to have in my road two ANC bigwigs living in the road. So it's almost like living in...
Which ones?
We're in the middle of... It's like living in the middle of Zurich just because they're there. Like I told you, I have not had load shedding once since I moved to my new apartment. That's like 7 months. So, you know, corruption and all that has its upside. You know, it's only a problem for you people out there. It's great if you're living next to the corrupt people. It's outstanding, I must tell you.
Well, listen, you're lucky then, because if you have a famous or
very
important politician on your road, then usually you never have power cuts. You never have any
two.
Of those problems.
I have two of them in my... Yeah. And two proper bigwigs, like not like cannon fodder guys. Like
desperate to know which ones.
No. I can't really get into that.
Look at him protecting them. Look at him protecting them so he can have his nonstop electricity. This is good.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It feels good. And I will not apologize for it. It feels incredible. It's so nice to be. I've never been in the inner circle. It feels great to be a part of the people where we talk about other people. Like, sorry to hear about your problems, you people. Like, I like that. It feels good.
Yeah, of course you do. How did we know you would feel like that? Of course we knew that. Anyway, now Ruth says she has a great relationship with her ward counselor. Even has come to my podcast a few times, and he's incredible, so approachable. Well, you see, that's great. Because
did I see?
Yeah,
a former Bok thingy. What's De Villiers? Is it De Villiers?
Peter De Villiers.
Was it De Villiers?
He's running.
Is it Peter De Villiers?
Peter De Villiers is running in Paarl. He's running for mayor of Paarl. No, really, he is the Springbok coach
for good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's see.
That's
see what happens to him.
People must like that's what you need. Like it's your council, it's your municipality, it's
so
kind of getting there.
When is the actual election? It's the 1st of November or something.
1st of November.
Okay. So it gives them, they've got a month and a half to campaign, which is not too onerous. Like we can deal with politicians for a month and a half, because I know I get a bit irritated when they send me the emails and the voice notes and all of that stuff. But I'll handle it for a month and a half. I mean, that's doable, right? It's not like in America where they do 6 or 7 months of campaigning and it's just remorseless. But
also because this is local, right? It's the one that affects you very quickly.
Yeah.
You actually, the campaigning is actually supposed to happen all the time because people are supposed to do the job. That's the campaigning, is just do the job.
Mm-hmm.
And then we don't have to see all however many councillors, mayors, you just have to see the one person or the five people, whatever, your municipality or your district or your, that's all. I don't have to see everybody else.
They have so many numbers. I've tried to block all of them. They have so many different numbers. I've blocked, I'm not kidding, I've blocked at least five and they keep calling.
Lebang, have you had any politicians bothering you in the last couple of weeks?
I've been getting some texts and all I've been doing is SMSing stop or opt out to 5312 or something. And I keep doing it. But as Mbulela is saying, it just simply doesn't work. They find another way to just wiggle into your life and you're just like, okay, I get it. You need my vote.
That's the wrong thing to do. You see, when you send the stop or opt out, then they know it's an active number. Then they know there's somebody on the other side. Just leave it alone. Just delete and move on.
But isn't this the whole point?
That was too late for me.
Wasn't the whole point of the Poppy Act, the Protection of Personal Information Act, wasn't that to stop people from spamming you and adding you to databases and things against your will?
Listen here.
I feel like
there was also an act to stop people from trying to sell you things you can't afford.
Yes, that didn't
work either.
Yeah, no, of course. Mm. All right, we've got a couple of emails.
The acts are only as good as the police thing, my dear.
That's true, and they're not going to enforce these things, are they? I mean, they're supposed to, and if it's a company or a political party, supposedly you could sue them, but who's got the money to take them to court? And by the time you do, the election's over. And then you've taken
all the time.
All the time. No, correct. So, all right, Pums, you've got a question for us this morning, a question that I've also been asking myself a little bit, but I haven't asked it on the show yet. Why does it look like and feel like everyone in Johannesburg is driving an expensive car? You've seen, and I'm sure if you drive around certain neighborhoods in Sandton and so on, you will see Bentleys and Porsches and, you know, these exotic car dealers, these people who sell these very expensive cars. They seem to be having the best time ever. They seem to be selling like hotcakes right now. We even spoke to Phil from DeWitt Motors on Tuesday this week, and he was telling us, like, he has, if you can get him 5 Maybachs to sell at his dealership, he'll sell them. There are people buying those cars. So we're a country where the economy is not exactly doing well. We're a country where we've gone through a really tough lockdown in terms of the effect that it's had on small businesses. But there are still really, really rich people driving conspicuously rich cars. What is that? Does anybody have an explanation for this? Or do you think Pumi and I are just seeing things?
Like,
you guys are definitely not seeing things.
Like, there's a Maserati dealership on William Lickle. Like, a dealership.
Mm-hmm.
There are enough people for them to actually have a showroom. Like, I was just like, a Bentley dealership.
Mm.
It's like, what's going on in this world?
Like, driving
that thing costs $6 million. It costs $6 million before you get the steering wheel.
It's true. So who are the people buying these cars?
Because everything is customized, right? So those cars are that kind of car that you actually, first you buy the badge, right? And then you start building it. You start customizing
sure.
the dashboard, the steering wheel, the paddles, the everything. Before you get the steering wheel, you've spent $6 million. Like, come, guys.
It's very chaotic. When you're driving through Sandton, like that Discovery building is here, the mall is here, it's just a heart attack happening. Every single minute without fail is some crazy ass car. And I'm always like, where are you guys getting money? What? Am I in the wrong business? Aye, man. During COVID, it's crazy.
I stand under correction here, but apparently, like, South Africa is one of the it's one of the big markets in the world per capita, you know, per percentage of population that buys really expensive cars. So it seems to me that when some people have made some money in this country, the first thing they do is go and buy a really expensive car, sometimes a car they can't even afford. So they won't put the money in the bank. They won't invest it. They won't spend it on a good property or anything like that. They'll buy a car because that's mobile flash, right? That's mobile conspicuous consumption. And they reckon, I suppose, those people, that someone's going to be impressed with them, that this is going to be something that people are going to think, wow, that guy. And it's usually guys. Let's not mess around. It's definitely not as many women as it is men who behave like this. So it's obviously like, look at me, pay attention to me. And they're always in these
gross colors.
I look too.
Of those people that like rubbernecks. Yeah. To kind of see who's the person driving that car. Like, do I recognize that person? Like, I'm that person. I'm looking. And if you're like right next to me, I'm totally like full on staring.
Yeah.
Just like staring you down. You can feel me looking at you. Because I'm just like, what's going on here?
Well, Derek says the East Rand has a lot of money. We have a crap ton of super luxury cars this side. Yeah. I've seen that too.
That's true. Yeah.
So do you guys remember? I don't know if Lebang, you're the youngest one, so I'd really love to know if you remember that there was a time when people who had like supercars and all of that only drove them on the weekend.
Because of the Sunday thing?
because of insurance, right? So that was the reason.
Right.
Now there's like billboards. Now there's billboards for supercar insurance. Like there's mass produced, like mass communication. That's like the number of people out there that are the market for them.
All right, so here's a quick...
But there's also echelons in that, in that whole thing, right? So like, I live where I live, and you can kind of see when guys are rolling out with like a nice Merc, a high-end Merc, a Geländewagen, whatever, right? I went to a mentor's house last weekend, Sandown. They've got the Bentley that's like from 1850 or whatever, or the Rolls-Royce.
Wow.
They're just everywhere. And I didn't want to say it when Phil was here, but he's got one of the Maybach SUVs that he let me jump in. So he's got one of those. But there in Sandown, it's just like another. And I'm not into cars. I haven't had a car in forever. So for me, it's not a thing.
If you want to see those cars, I mean, like if you're a car tourist and you're in Johannesburg and you find yourself in a neighborhood and you want to see more of those cars, then just drive around. I would say Sandhurst and Hyde Park and Illovo.
Illovo.
That kind of area.
Illovo doesn't jump, but they're there.
Yeah. It's very, and you see them come out of these huge, big houses with these massive gates, and then you know, like an old Rolls will pull out of there, or like a very, very fancy, souped up kind of SUV. There's no one in there who's driving around in some little Skorokor, you know. Those are the cars for. Let me ask you all three a question quickly, and this will maybe tell us something about each other. Like, if money wasn't an object, you could drive any car. Tell me what you'd be driving, and in what color.
I'll tell you straight off the bat, Bentley GT. It's always been my dream car. I'd get it in like bright pink. But the thing is, I just get one. Just one. I don't need 20.
You
just
one,
need
huh?
five.
Okay, sure. Just one. Yeah, well, yeah, I don't know like, anyone who has more than one.
This version of me, I just want one Bentley GT. That's all.
Well, I wonder what
a pink one.
What do you think that would cost you? Bulelo, do you have any ballpark figure on a Bentley GT? It must be at least 4 or 5 million.
I don't know these. No, it'll be more than that because I found out what. Yeah, no, it'll be more than that. If you want the Bentley like proper, it's more than that because I found out what one of my mentors' cars cost. No way, it is more than that for a Bentley.
Let's see, 1,000%. Apparently, okay. So it's about 5,609. Sorry, 5,690.
Hey, 5 million. Yeah, 5,690.
That's
only
recommended retail price.
Only says Lebang. Okay. All right. How about you, Pumile?
And that's before the specs. I don't know. Probably a Tesla. I got to drive one of those in Sweden. Okay. Like I'm not into cars. I'm really not into cars at all. Like probably a sweet Tesla or whatever. But I'm not into it.
All right.
I do love cars and I love to drive cars. Like I love the experience of driving. Today, my current kind of I could get behind the wheel of that is a Mini Cooper, John Cooper Works edition.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yours is so basically Lebang's going to spend the most money out of all of us.
Is what it sounds like.
I would.
I'll give you guys a call.
I wouldn't mind a little convertible Merc GT. I love those cars. You know, a little two-seater sports car. It's just, it's so goddamn beautiful. And I'd have it in that matte gray. You know, that kind of almost looks like a charcoal, but but I'd probably only drive that on weekends. The rest of the week, the rest of the week, I'd Uber. If I was in that kind of money range, I'd just say, you know what, money's not a thing for me. I don't want to pay for insurance for two cars. I'll drive the GT on weekends, and in the week, I'll Uber where I need to go, or I'll have a scooter or something.
You know, listen, let's just have a small moment around Uber drivers and Uber driving, because it's great, right? It's convenient.
Sure.
It sounds like a fantastic thing.
Yeah. I love it.
But most of the time, those Uber drivers don't have experience, hey, as drivers. It's a hairy experience being in an Uber. Like, you're braking, you're part. It's just too anxiety-inducing for me.
And I have to also say this, that if you're in an Uber X, or in an Uber Black, it's different, totally different experiences. Like if you're in the Uber X and you are on your way to something and you're going there because you might be meeting people for drinks or whatever and you don't want to drink and drive. Yes, sir, sometimes you get in those Uber X's and they're grimy, they're dirty, they put in those
what's
things.
I've never been in an Uber X. I've never been in the Uber X. I've just been in the like standard Uber.
No, that's the Uber X. Uber X is a standard.
Twice. So what's twice I've been in an Uber Black. Oh, the other one is Uber Go, right?
Oh, okay. So I what's the difference between Uber Go and Uber X? I think they're the same.
So Go is just the cheaper. Uber Go is just the cheaper one, and then they allow like smaller vehicles like Polos and those kind of small Kia Picantos to actually be your Uber. Okay. And then there's like, you know, then there's levels.
Well, that Uber X thing is now that's like being driven around by a chauffeur, and that's good. That's really good. But
that's also, Uber Black.
That's Uber Black. What I mean.
That's
Sorry.
Uber Black.
And that's really that's a good experience. And they usually drive better as well. You know, this is kind of a level to it. But sometimes in the Uber X's and Uber Go's, you do feel like that you could be a package just being thrown around in the back of the car. And they do, like Pumi says, like stop, start, stop. You know, my kidneys, and you just know when you get there, you're like, thank God.
You know what? Because I'm a victim of poverty, I Uber everywhere, but due to poverty, I can't be living your life.
Listen, it's expensive, Bulelo. It's expensive to drive around in Ubers.
I can't Uber Black is what I'm saying. But never let a pandemic go to waste. Sure. Because in the pandemic, obviously, because drivers had no trips, so they'd open it up. And I'm moving and grooving in Audis. And I was the one day I was in like a sick Merc, and I'm paying Uber X prices, by the way, because they downgrade themselves. Oh, what a life. Just what a life I was living for a while.
Yeah.
And just getting out of that car, like at Morningside Shopping Center. Like out of a black Merc, just like you know how the door pops like it.
Yeah. When you close the doors on those expensive cars, they almost suck the door back in. It makes a little noise.
Those hydraulic, like when you go to rich people's houses and they, I don't know if you've been to, I had this experience last week as well. And I'm like, I'm so poor right now. Is that when you go to rich people's houses, even their drawers for where their cutlery stays is hydraulic.
And it goes,
get out of here.
Yeah. And you press the cupboard. There's no handle on the cupboard. You press the cupboard and the thing pops open.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, what this conversation has made me realize, though, is I'm actually glad Mbulelo doesn't have this kind of money. Do you know how insufferable he would be?
He'd be
if this was actually his like life.
Absolutely right.
And we wouldn't hear the end of it.
You see, I've known Pumi the longest out of all of you, and I know that if Pumi suddenly had, I don't know, 50 million rand in the bank, if she suddenly was rolling even more than that, say 100 million rand, I mean, if money was never an object to Pumi again, she wouldn't change.
If I got a PPE tender.
But you wouldn't be any different. You'd be exactly the same. You would probably live the same kind of lifestyle. Look, you might treat yourself to a couple of nice holidays. You might buy a nice pair of shoes every now and then. But, Jesus, whose house is that where there's one of those supercars just driven past? Is that you, Leban?
Yeah, that was definitely me.
You live in a fancy neighborhood if someone can drive that fast past your house. Anyway, I don't think Pumi would spend like all of her money on showing people, you know, it's not your thing at all, Pums. You'd be a nice rich person. Mbulelo would be such a snob. He would have nothing to do with the rest of us ever again. He would never talk to us.
Franchuk.
Yeah.
Franchuk, I'm gone. Yeah, me, Rupert, Becca, we out here. We're living that life.
He'd be growing his own vineyards. Oh, yeah. And you'd be insufferable. You'd be one of those snobs. Yeah. Oh, God. Imagine him.
No, me and Rupert. I don't apologize. If I get that kind of money, it's me, it's Rupert, it's Stain, those guys that live out there. Franchuk, straight away, I'm out. I want it to be a nightmare for people to get to my house, like it is like those, you know, the wine farms where you got to drive in, there's driveway. Two security guards. Yeah, exactly. Long you can't come drive. If you don't have the worst
ID,
car you can have.
You have like, biometrics at the gate.
And you can't even get to my house. I don't want you to come to my house if you're in a Kia. because you need a TD5. You need a TD5 to drive the road to my house. That Rupert life. Yeah, definitely.
Can you at least organize a golf cart for me then when I get to the game?
No. If you can't get to the TD5, the TD5 is the go-kart.
Lebang, you and I are not visiting him. He will not.
Really?
He won't invite us.
We don't qualify.
Nothing. And I don't know what you'd be like, but I suspect you'd be a little bit flash. Like you'd have your pink Bentley GT,
But the first thing I'll do, Gareth, is take all my kids to like the best schools. That's like the first thing I'll do. Then after that, I think I'd get over it. Like it's just money, you know. Like I'll enjoy it. Then I'll be like, okay, cool, back to real life. I have no interest in not letting you guys visit me.
Well, Annette says she's with Bulelo on the Franschhoek wine farm. Oh yes, definitely. And good timing in the background there, says Fundo, for the car that drove past Lebang's house. That is definitely a sports car. It just went past you.
No, look, I'll be honest with you. I live, what's the name of this road? Hans Schumann, just up the road from Rema Church. And I think they have like secret race things at night. Because at around 10 p.m. without fail every night, it's new every single night without fail. So I think there's definitely like some sports racing thing that goes on here.
I think
I just need to become a part of it.
I think there's something similar here at my house, because I often hear but late at night, like curfew's supposedly on, right? I'm telling you, they have like these
cars.
There's
no curfew. Is there still a curfew, guys? Well, there's no curfew.
On paper.
On paper there's. I mean, on Monday we talked about this. It's like, did anyone even watch Cyril on Sunday? Did anyone even pay attention? Because I didn't.
I didn't know there was a Cyril address until I started getting like WhatsApps of the... I was like, what? Level, is this nonsense still going on? Level what? Level two? I mean, come on.
We really are a broken family, because before family meetings were so important to us. Now we just don't care.
We don't even pitch for the family meetings. That's exactly right. Mm-hmm.
So, Gareth, you heard about this Midrand life. I've been introduced to it by some of the new guys that have joined my show, because I don't really know that life. Is that where guys are driving like a Golf 7? But they have like camp chairs at their house and cooler box.
I know that.
You heard about this.
I know all about that.
Yeah, they call it the Midrand life.
Which
is why I always told you, the people who drive fast in our road, I always say, not here, guys. Not here. Go live in Midrand. You want noise? Go live in Midrand. Not here. We don't do that here. We don't do that here. We've got Rosie and, you know, the gals walking at 5:30 in the morning. No. We don't do that here. There's one guy who we did have to call out. He's got the fancy BMW. Mm. Try to come do his thing on our road. We had to say, no, chief, not yet.
Is that why you were smiling when I was talking about those people who, as soon as they make a bit of money, they're going to buy a car? Is that why you were smiling?
Because I know one person, but we have that guy in our road, and now he's tempered himself.
Saying
Midrand. Saying Midrand, chief.
That sounds,
not like that.
Sounds like a hell of a neighborhood, man.
Yeah,
but it's
the place you want to live.
It is funny how people, you know, we're like water. We find our level, right? So some people like living in a neighborhood where there's activity and like noise and excitement and stuff. And then there are those people who just want to be like Bulelo, far away in the country with lots and lots of money and no other people. And someone said to me that the difference between an introvert and an extrovert isn't that the one likes being around people and the other one doesn't. It's that they get their energy from different things. So like an extrovert gets their energy from activity and noise and people and company and busyness. Right. And an introvert can be in those situations and they can be perfectly happy, but they get their energy from alone time. And I thought about it and I'm really neither. I'm like, I'm halfway in between. I think most of us are. Very few people are completely introverted or completely extroverted, because it's exhausting to be an extrovert all the time, right? And being an introvert, eventually you do. You're like, I could see some people now.
It's such an interesting thing you're saying there, and I've been giving it a really, really good, like, big-time thought over the last 3 years. And it is quite an arduous task to think about why I'm the way I am. And for me, it's like, actually what I want to control is who can be near me most often. And speaking of those energy, and it's been arduous, because 90% of the people I had in my life for most of my life, I don't want them in my life anymore. Like I can't do it. I just can't, because then I can't grow. And I feel whenever I've got those types of people where, like I told you, in my house, you're not allowed to complain. And I've kicked someone out of my house for whinging before. So those kinds of people, I just don't want you near me. And it's hard because it's difficult to, if you've had people for 10 years in your life, to tell them you got to go. Like, it's hard, man. Well, it's hard for me anyway, but
just watching
it's much easier this way.
Just looking at Pumi's face, she's like, what is wrong with this guy?
What do you mean?
I'm just watching.
Is it weird to kick people out of your house for having terrible energy? Well, a house is not a place to come and complain. But the world's hard enough.
You should be kicking people out of your life who are vampires, energy vampires, right? I mean, everybody tells us this, but Bulelo, you can't do that with family or people you've been friends with for.
Oh, you're wrong.
Really?
Oh, you're wrong. Oh, they know not to call me. No, there's certain family members. No, no, no. Gareth, I refute that. It is, you know, people for your mental health.
Unbelievable.
No, no, no. Oh, no, 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 no. No, I urge people all the time. Please don't. Blood is thicker than water romance crap. If people are affecting your mental health. No, right. No. Even my mother knows very well. Once she starts with that business. Whoa. Not here. Because I only have one life. So not here. With all due respect,
well, Rickus says Bulelo gets his energy from being an asshole. And then Robin says you're like this. I am the only one I'm the only house on my street with a gravel road. You would love it, Bulelo. So you see, that makes it hard for people in those very low cars to get to Robin's house. The houses and cars don't match the stats that SARS publishes in terms of taxpayers. Oh, don't you worry, SARS. SARS use that's true, but SARS, what they actually do is they look at people's Instagram. We've discussed this before. So SARS will go onto someone's Instagram if they're an influencer driving fancy cars, and then they'll pitch up at your house and say, says here you only made $20,000 last year, how can you be driving this car? And then the shit starts for those people.
What if I borrowed it from a friend?
No, there is a lot of tax evasion happening. Well, SARS will need to see those papers. They'll be like, show me the friend's documents, because they can ask you for that stuff, you know. Theron says, what happened to hospitality in Bulelo?
Listen, hospitality is an integrity. Listen, I'm about integrity. If I come to your house and I'm bringing that, hospitality is a two-way street. In order for you to be to display hospitality, I must be hospitable myself as the guest. When I arrive, I must also come a certain way.
Well, Andrew's giving you some gears here. He says, all that Bulelo can do on this show is whinge and whine about everyone else. Two-faced much?
Yeah, bloody right, especially in my personal life. Bloody right. But wait, is that weird? I don't understand why I'm the weird one, and everyone says you must protect your mental health this day and age.
Well,
here's what I'd like to understand, Bulelo. What what then in your life constitutes whinging? If a friend of yours is simply ventilating what is happening in their life, or a challenge that they're facing, or just a, this happened, this is what's happening, is that a whinge?
Look, it can't be the whole night how my relationship's terrible and my boss sucks and everything's horrible and wah, wah, wah. Like, I can't have that, because life's hard for everyone. I don't care how much money you have. Melancholy is a part of life for all of us. You're not coming here to offload in my house. Tell me some good stuff as well. Tell me, what are you going to do about that terrible situation? Not just, my life's hard. I'm not having it. I'm sorry. Like, my life's hard as well. You know, I don't need more of that. I've got enough on my own plate. I have family stuff as well.
Yeah,
like, park that at home. I'm sorry. We all have to deal with
that. What Pumi's also, I think what you're hinting at here, Pums, and you can tell me if I'm reading this right, but sometimes that sharing part of life, which I'm not good at either. I'm kind of like Bulelo, you know, when people start moaning too much about how, you know, their health or their relationships or their career or whatever it might be is in free fall and they're not happy about it. I can sit there. I know that it is socially appropriate for me to go, oh, okay, tell me more, and just listen sometimes. Like, if you care about somebody, that's what you do, right? I know that intellectually that's what I'm meant to do. But emotionally, God, I find that stuff draining too, hey? I'm not good at it, Pums. I'm like, and I know Bulelo comes across here as a real asshole, and sometimes he can be, but I'm kind of on the same page. Like, if you carry on and on and on about how difficult things are and you've got no plan to improve it, and it sounds like proper, you know, wee.
Listen here. I think that the, we're not talking like EO levels of kind of like whining, right? That's not what
we're EO levels, about. Yes.
Yeah, no. This is not EO levels of kind of woe is me. I'm just saying, you know, especially in Bulelo, because you recognize that everybody's life has ups and downs, right? Mm-hmm. So when a person is in a downturn, why is it unacceptable for you that they would vent that? Especially when they're in the up, you want to be around that energy.
So I'll tell you what type of people I don't want in my house. Whenever I don't hear, what's your part in things going wrong? See, I don't want those people at my house where it's always my mom, my job. Yeah, my, what did you do? I hate that. Nobody ever says, I messed up here.
They have an external locus of accountability and responsibility. It's never them. Like, they can't understand how the world has conspired against them, and it's totally not their fault. And I agree with that. That is insufferable. That's like, a lot of people are agreeing with you, Bulelo, but some people are
and
still.
And I have lots of faults, by the way. One thing that I always bring to the table.
Yeah, we know that. And,
no.
Yes.
But I take responsibility for everything. My approach is everything's my fault in my life. Everything's my fault. Well, so I expect that from everyone else.
Robin says, people run away from me because I change the subject to positivity straight away. Yeah. Some people just they like to wallow, you know. They like to wallow. So Derek says
Yeah, I just think there's a way. I get it that some people obviously don't want to take responsibility, but there's a way that you can be there for them that won't necessarily take from you. And I think that's the human part of it, where you sit and listen. Number one, if I'm coming to you, dog, it's for a reason. It's because I generally need either your advice or I generally just need to let this out. What is it going to cost you just to hear me out? Like, to kick me out, I think that's just a little bit crass.
No. If you are coming to me and saying, here's where I screwed up, that's very different to my girlfriend's this and my mom is this. No, if I don't know, whatever. You'd have to ask
what
people
about,
that.
Oh, my friend. What about maybe I don't know where I screwed up just yet. And in having the conversation, you can say, oh, but have you considered that this is where you fucked this whole thing up? Exactly. You know what I'm saying? So it takes a bit of processing to get to the place where you go, ooh, I messed up there. And sometimes to process it, you need to vent it.
Yeah.
Ventilate.
To people like you, Mulelo.
But I'm sort of more on his side here than the rest of you are. And Yonda agrees with us here. Yonda says, even though Mbulelo is insufferable, I would actually enjoy his company more. And I'm an extrovert who enjoys stimuli from people. Morning, beautiful Pumi, sultry Lebang, and lastly, Chief Gareth. Okay, so full of compliments. Yonda, thank you very much. Now, I've got to turn our attention to some headlines because otherwise we'd be in dereliction of duty today. So you want to know what's going on in the world? Well, Carl Niehaus. Shame, he's such a sad state of affairs, that guy, isn't he? I said it before when I had him on my TV show. He's so sad.
It's time to stop. It's time to just turn the cameras off for that guy. Turn the mics off. Yeah. Turn the cameras off. Yeah. Just, this is a classic example of what your parents used to tell you. If you ignore it, it'll go away.
Yeah, but you know what, Pumi? I don't know, because
we have to ignore him now, guys.
I'm kind of enjoying the ANC imploding here. I'm sort of it's fun to watch how, you know, loyal cadres are fighting loyal cadres. There are people protesting outside Luthuli House because they haven't been paid for months. And you've got Jesse Duarte complaining about this and that. And you've got Pule Mabe going on TV and shouting and screaming. It's not that we don't have money. You know, it's true. You don't have money. You guys have pissed away and stolen and squandered everything. So a part of me is kind of having the schadenfreude of like, ha, 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 the ANC who's been stealing from all of us for so long. Now they don't have money to pay their own people. And Carl Niehaus, for better or worse, he's a joke of a human being. But he's like that, he's like the emetic that makes the organization throw up, you know. He's like this pill that they swallow and then they have to throw up afterwards. Do you know what I mean? So he says, he says that some aggrieved ANC employees have registered a criminal case at the Johannesburg Central Police Station against the party and its top six. This is after they failed to pay salaries and UIF for 3 months. Let's just think about this for a second. Pumi, you run your own business. You employ people. So do I. If we don't pay our people for 3 months and we don't pay UIF, what happens to you? CCMA, maybe even court, you end up in big trouble. I mean, we've got very, very strict labor laws in this country, and they are difficult to negotiate and navigate. And if you can't pay people for 3 months in a row, or UIF, which is a legal obligation, you would be out of business, right?
Guys, what's the next headline?
Okay, you want to move on. You're not interested in this. Okay.
Just like, keep it moving, bro.
Musi Maimane has intensified his support for independent candidates contesting elections, and I agree with him. Let's have those independents. Pumi, you've said this too. Let the local person who's the busybody, the Karen on the group, let her stand, because she's going to be so busy sorting out water, electricity, rubbish collection, street lights, grass verges, speed bumps, all that kind of shit in the neighborhood, that she's not going to have time to irritate you like she did before. And she might actually get things done, because she'll now irritate the politicians. And I reckon if you've got a neighborhood busybody and she seems like someone, or he seems like someone who you would like to see represent your neighborhood, vote for them. And Musi Maimane says this is integral. The One South Africa movement, that's his organization, has unveiled a New Horizon movement mayoral candidate, Bishop Vincent Jones, and 34 independent candidates who will stand in wards across Emfuleni. Now, Emfuleni is probably the worst-run municipality in Gauteng, right? It's the Vaal area.
Julius was there the other day.
In this year's local government elections, the OSA said it's working closely with more than 250 candidates in 12 targeted municipalities around the country. We are partnering with these independent candidates and Section 15A community organizations to bring about citizen-led governments in towns across South Africa. Does anyone have a problem with this? Because on paper, it looks good to me.
It looks damn good.
All right, so we're in favor of Musi. Musi gets the thumbs up from us this morning for that. And then Cyril says, the state of disaster will end when all COVID measures are in place. And now, what the hell does that mean? He says, you know, because someone asked him a question. Someone said, Mr. President, we've been in a state of disaster.
What?
Yeah, we've been in a state of...
Someone asked a question?
Yeah, and he answered it. We've been in a state of disaster for over 500 days. And he says, we're not really sure when it'll end. He says it will cease
also,
to exist.
That's not true.
Yeah.
We've been in a state of disaster for 25 years now.
That's not true.
That is true. That is a lie.
He says measures must be infused into government policies and regulations to normalize COVID-19 preventative measures in the country. But we're over it now. We're over it. Like, honestly, there are vaccines available for free for everybody. If you go and find them, you can have them, right? Isn't that the truth? Like, anyone who wants a vaccination now can go and get one. It doesn't matter what age you are. Doesn't matter where you live. There are places that are open all over. There are pharmacies that are doing it, medical aid companies that are doing it. There are people in clinics that are doing it. So why do we need all these measures still in place? Someone, please tell me why. What is he talking about when government regulations are infused? Like, that's you and your government who are unable to implement the stupid rules that you made up in the first place. How come that's our problem? How come we have to live with your state of disaster? Which, ironically, is exactly what Mbulelo says it is. It's like 25 years of this shit.
But nobody is. Nobody is anymore.
Yeah, that's
like,
also true.
I see the traffic out there. I walked past, there's this new restaurant in Rosebank. And it was packed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, people are living. South Africans.
Yeah. It's spring. People are out in the restaurants. They're... Yep. Drinking, having good times.
I agree with you. People don't care. But the problem is that if the police want to enforce, they can. And they can lock you up for being outside after 11 o'clock at night. Now, I think that's outrageous.
Is that the curfew? Is it 11, guys?
It's 11.
Is it not 10?
But it's now just gone to 11 now.
Unless you're like 21. The hell are you doing?
This is like the stupid Donbasser that they used to make people carry around during the apartheid era. You can't tell people where to be. This is a free country. You should be allowed to move around as you wish. Now, I agree with you. People are doing this anyway.
But what if you're having an affair, Pumi? So there's lots of people above the age of 21 having affairs.
Yes.
I have to go. No, you know, yes. Pumi, don't look at me like that. You know what's going on. 11:45, I have to now leave Ingosi and head home to the wife. Like, you can't stop Ujafta and Craig from doing that. No way. That's wrong.
Ujafta and Craig.
Stink Mina says, clubs are packed, malls are packed. Nobody gives a fuck about these regulations.
Go to the hood, that's where you see it's real. Mm. Like, not a mask in sight, but it's been like that since the beginning.
Mm. Mm-hmm. You want more headlines? Here's another political headline for this morning, because we are doing the burning platform later on. This one is Action SA. That's Herman Mashaba, who we had on the show just a little while ago, has hit out at the DA's mayoral candidate for Joburg. They were on the show together, remember?
Hitting out at each other.
Yeah, and we let's just say, Pums, we had them hitting out at each other here first. That's what we had. apparently, she criticized Action SA leader Herman Mashaba for pandering to the EFF, which, frankly, he did when he was mayor, because that was how he got his coalition working, right? When Palazzo was elected as a councillor in 2016, Mashaba appointed her to his mayoral committee for health and social services. The DA governed the city in a coalition with other parties, as well as a voting arrangement with the EFF. In late 2019, Mashaba departed acrimoniously from the DA. Yo, there's still a lot of acrimony there. Don't you be under any illusions. And resigned as mayor in the fallout of the DA's internal ructions that left the door open for the ANC to return to power in the city. So she's going at Herman. Herman's going back at her. It's very exciting. Isn't this nice?
Sure.
And then you mentioned
where's the voter in all this? Where's the voter in all this?
Nobody cares. Who cares
about the voter? It's just that inconvenient matter of a voter.
So, Bulelo, you mentioned mental health earlier. TikTok, believe it or not, has announced a set of features to help users who are struggling with mental health issues and thoughts of suicide, which is pretty much everyone on TikTok. The features include guides on well-being and support for people who are struggling with eating disorders. There's also a search intervention feature that directs users to support resources if they look for terms such as suicide. The move comes as rival platform Instagram came under fresh scrutiny over its impact on users' well-being. Yeah, but now these things we know are, these apps are meant to appeal to people who are in a bad way. These apps make people who are in a good way feel like they're in a bad way. These apps are not good for your mental health, full stop. So if you're going onto these apps to try and find mental health resources, that's like searching in hell for heaven. This is not, this can make any difference. These guys,
but what are you doing for young kids?
What? No, so
they're just trying to cover their backsides. They want to say when someone commits suicide because they've just had enough of seeing everyone's fabulous life on Instagram. They just want to be able to say, oh, but we had our mental health resources in place, and if people look
exactly,
we sent them a notification, and then we can't get into trouble. So don't blame me, Pontius Pilate style. Like, I tried, but, you know, it's not my fault.
Pontius.
That's what they do. Yeah, that's what
not,
they do.
Not the star of the Bible, that guy.
No.
Pontius Pilate.
I think that's all they do.
It's definitely horseshit.
Horseshit, right?
But where do we meet kids? Like, as much as we want to say, hey, it's all, like, kids, that's where they, and we're only getting started. Pumi could probably speak to this better, and you, Lebong, is, don't we have to meet kids halfway, Gareth? And we have to put those kinds of things in that space, otherwise. Or what do we do? You know, like, we can't take the tablet out of the child's hands anymore. It's too late. So we have to put that, don't we? Or am I crazy?
Again, I'm going to say, where are the parents? That's number one, where are the parents? Here's how it goes in terms of responsibility for children in the world, okay? Number one, the parents of those children. Number two, the guardians or the friends of the court and all those kinds of, you know, the institutions that look after kids, human rights organizations, children's organizations. Then other people in society who don't have children. Then governments. and all of these things down the line. But right at the bottom of the line, if Instagram and TikTok are raising your children and helping them, stopping them from self-harm, then there's you've gone through a lot of those rungs before you've got to this stage.
Listen here, guys. I think if we're honest about ourselves and the way that we were raised and grew up, we know a lot of the stuff that we know we got in the street. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
You knew what was in the street that you didn't bring home, maybe, if you you know, had like tough parents. And what is the street equivalent for these young people today? It's the social media streets. So it's got to be there. It's got to be there because that's where they are. It's don't be like, we got shit in the street. Gareth, all that hip hop you were reciting here the other day, you got it in the street.
Yeah,
we get lots of stuff in the street, right?
Sure.
And that's because it's there. Similarly, I think it's a great thing. I think it's a great thing that they're just saying, okay, all the stuff is out here. All the stuff is out here. You can bump into it. You can seek it out. You can, it can be redirected to you, but it's out here because you are out here.
See, Pumi and I are the grown-ups now. We're talking, you know what I'm saying?
Look the at kids. You.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the matter is that you need to resort to just TikTok for access to that kind of information. No. Then the bigger problem is, why aren't you able to get it from home? Why aren't you able to get it from family? Why aren't you able to get it from school or the areas that you're in, the people that actually influence your life? That's what Gareth is saying. And then there I agree. Definitely, Pumi, there's things that we got on the streets. Definitely, most definitely. But within the household, these things have to start at home. I would hate myself if my kids only got certain information on TikTok. Like, be able to be like, "Mommy, what's this?" And that's on me as a parent. You know, I can't leave that responsibility to TikTok and Instagram. Fully. All of it. And
so with
that's
you.
And that's perfectly all right to be that. But we also know that there are many, 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 many kids who raise themselves, whether it's right or wrong, they are just raising themselves.
Yeah.
And that's where the resources are for them. That's where they bump into these things. And not having it there is worse because that's where they are. That's the resource that they have available to them. Come on, guys.
Pumi, I just want to and it's something I've been thinking about, having grown up in a where both of my parents worked in the home, is so many of us hold on to this idea in the past of mommy at home, somebody's at home to anchor the family. Is we know less and less divorces are on the up, which means both parents are going to have to work now moving forward, which means naturally parents can't raise their children anymore. We don't live in 1955 where mommy stays at home and daddy goes and collects the money for the family and brings it home. It's like, it's becoming harder, I would say, for parents to actually raise their kids. Not because they're bad parents. No, there's no perfect parent. Just because parents have to go and work now. It's a different time. But I don't know if that dynamic exists or not, or how right I am.
Mm.
Just from your side, Pumi.
What do you think?
Dude, all I'm saying is, like, this is the world we have now. This is the world we have. Hi. You see, this is the world we have. You're like working from home. People are half naked in the backs. This is the world we have now. Mm. And because this is the world we have, which also, more than ever, the issue of mental health has become high on the priority list of things. Where, like, guys, there was a time when people who had mental health issues were just thrown in a hole and left alone. And now we're kind of going, these people need help. So I, for one, am a fan of having as many resources in as many places, easily accessible for whatever reason.
I don't think we're all disagreeing with each other. All Lebang and I are saying is that you can't outsource your parenting to TikTok and to Instagram. And if your kid is looking for mental health tips there. And I suppose it's not the worst thing if they're looking for mental health tips and if they're getting resources that they need. That's never a bad thing. But it should not be the first port of call. And I just suspect that their motives, these big social media companies, I don't think their motives are necessarily to help kids, really. I think their motives are keep you addicted and make sure we can't be blamed if something goes wrong. That's all.
It's not 100%. Coming from the right place. They're not doing it out of love. They don't care about these kids. They just want more and more people to use these apps. I think it's cool that it's there. Yes, they're reacting. They're just doing it because, you know, let's do it. But if it was really a sincere thing that they were like, you know what, these kids are going to be on our app most of their day, let's do something for them, they would have done this a long time ago. It would have been a real thing.
No, and if it was sincere, you know what they'd do is they would cut the working hours for their staff in half, because then their parents can go home at TikTok and look after their kids.
Right.
Like, if you really want to get to the tachlas of it, is cut down the parents' working hours, pay them the same, and let them raise their kids. But you're not going to do that. So it's about money. Like, okay, fine.
Yes,
but
yes.
It needs something, Bafetu, because we know the kids. Your beautiful baby's going to live on TikTok.
We're not going to solve TikTok and Instagram's problems. I mean, frankly, I think that's always going to be an issue. But Carl says on the issue of what is this? This is the curfew thing. He says, I had to take my kid to hospital. I was on my way home after 11 p.m., I think he means. Was it? No, a.m. Yeah, the cops pulled me over and I had to... No, at p.m. The cops pulled me over and I had to show them the messages on my phone telling my family that my 16-year-old is in 16-month-old is in hospital. So the cops are still, even though we say people don't care, and that may be true, but it also seems to me that they will still arrest you if they feel like it, right?
Wow, that's just incredible.
Sure, that's...
It's incredible.
Carl, I hope your baby's all right now.
Yes, like... But by now, we should have had an app with the way they've stolen PPE money. We should have had an app for sort of state institutions. You know, if you'd been to a hospital, like we're going to have a passport for COVID, is why don't we have an app for... I was at a hospital. Oh, if it's a government, you know what
Do
I mean?
Do you really think we're going to have a COVID passport in this country? Do you really think? We can't even keep our voters' role. I mean, like, nobody even knows who, SARS doesn't even know who owes them tax at the moment.
No, you're right. You're right.
People are trying to, like,
who gives me hope.
People are out here trying to renew their driver's licenses.
No, you're right. Yeah.
And we can't get that shit up. Come on.
You're right.
Look here. Here's a card that, we've got from Lebang on the screen. Bring this vaccination record to every vaccination and when visiting your health facility. If you have experienced any adverse effects after leaving the vaccination site, please report to the blah, 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 blah. For more information about COVID-19, blah, 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 blah. And it gives you a number. So that's your record card. And then on the other side, is it your actual jabs?
So this is definitely not mine. This is my boyfriend's. I just saw it on the table now. I don't have one yet. I'll see when I get one. But it's a real thing. It's an actual thing. Here it is. And it's live.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got an email yesterday.
And it is going digital month end, they say. But they also said they wouldn't steal PPE money.
I've got an email from Cassandra, which I think we'll save for tomorrow because we've got the Burning Platform coming up next. And she says, all right, this is how she starts it. How are you? I know you've been avoiding this discussion, but I think it's time. So tomorrow... That's a very cryptic introduction to Cassandra's email, which we will deal with tomorrow on the show. So stick around for that. But coming up in the next couple of minutes is the Burning Platform, which is brought to you, of course, by Nando's. This is our chance to unpack all the political stories of the week with Pumi. And this morning with Dumo Denga, who's well known to us as well. We're going to speak to him. He's a libertarian, the former member of the Capitalist Party, host of the Man Patria podcast. And later in the show, we'll talk to a guy called Paul Jacobson, who is standing as a nominee for Ward 54 in Sea Point in Camps Bay and Mooley Point in Cape Town. And we'll find out what he is on about, because he's got some issues he wants to unpack about what's going on the Atlantic seaboard. So stick around for Dumo and for Paul and for Pumi and I. And that's your menu for the next bit. Thank you, Lebang and Mbulelo. We'll see you tomorrow.
Cheers.
And have a good Thursday. All right, we'll chat to you in the next couple of minutes. Stick around for more right here on cliffcentral.com.
Cliffcentral.com.